he's Tony D. So that's all I can say. Tony D, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Let's see. How do I do this? How do I get over here? Oh, got to go on top. There you go. I can't handle looking at myself for all you guys. Good to see you. Oh, man. Great. You know, there's been a lot of praise for the guys, the people that have put this thing on. And, of course, I also give them that. And equally for the people that have come and shared up to this point. Quite frankly, myself feeling a little inadequate. Never feel like I've been asked to share a lot in history meetings, and I've always felt inadequate because there's been so much rich recovery before me. I don't feel like I could ever measure up. And of course, I learned from the people that come before me, as well as the people that come after me. So before I get started on all that, let me show you something. Hopefully it'll come through. The light, you can't see it. I don't know if you can see it or not, but that's the NA tree, guys. And here on the bottom, it says written by Jimmy Cannon and Greg Pierce. I don't know if you could see that. Hopefully you can. And that's not to be misconstrued or mixed up with this one. This is the service manual that we had when I got here. And one other thing let me share with you. This one's going to be kind of hard to see, I think, but I'm going to try. Can you shut that light? Maybe that'll help. Yeah, I don't know if that'll help or not. Doesn't look like it helped. But anyway, this is the conference in the early 80s. And here, way back here in the corner is Bob Barrett. He's skinny. He's so skinny you can hardly see him. And next to him, of course, this guy, he happens to have black hair in the picture, but that's Jeff Gates. That was your second speaker there. And then Steve Bice, who unfortunately passed last year. And then over here is Bob Stone. And Bob Stone, most of you know, was the office manager after Jimmy. And Bob Stone, I contribute a lot of what we know in regards to Robert's rules, because Bob Stone was our parliamentarian for many years at the conference. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Jimmy that brought him in and hired him for our parliamentarian. He's the one that taught us actually how to live, how to make the conference and the business of the conference go somewhat smoothly. So there we go. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to show you that because a lot of people have mentioned it during today's event. So I wanted to just show it to you. As for me, because really, I don't think I can add to anything the people that came before me did a really super job in regards to the history that was going on. I have had a lot of experience with Jimmy. I've had a lot of experience going to Jimmy's house. The first business meeting that I went to, it turned out to be a fight as well. And apparently Kathy and I both went to our business meeting with Jack. Well, I think she was talking about Bernstein. So we're going to blame it on Jack Bernstein. Every time at least the first business meeting I went to, I believe it was him. He took me, and it was at the Suicide Prevention Center is where we had our office at that time, because there was some happenings prior to that. We didn't have a place to put all our stuff. So I was real new. I didn't want to be here. I didn't like the fellowship. I couldn't understand any of it. I couldn't understand how, you know, half a dozen guys sitting around sniveling about shit was supposed to help me. And, you know, I have to give tribute to my own background in regards to burning all the bridges that I had crossed. Because if there had been any left, I probably would have taken it and I wouldn't be here today. So I believe that we all recover the time we're supposed to recover. And maybe I could have made it sooner. I doubt it. I don't think I could have stayed clean in today's world. I don't know, but I don't have to find out. There's one thing I never want to do. Well, there's actually two. Is stand up as a newcomer, and I never want to say I have to get back to meetings. I just don't go away. I just keep going. People like me and you, we're dangerous people, and sometimes we forget that, and we destroy lives, and we destroy many lives, including our own, and sometimes we forget that. And I have to tell you that all of my ends, all the things that I thought were my ends, have shown to be my new beginnings. So as long as I keep an open mind, whatever happens, happens. And if I'm doing the right thing for the right reason, the right things will happen. And that's a lesson that Jimmy also taught me. You know, a couple of the guys had mentioned language, started with Mel, and thank you guys for sharing. I used to cuss a lot, and what I remember very clearly that Jimmy Cannon pulled me up on it. I spent a lot of time at his house almost every day my first few years, and he said to me, "I hear you've been cussing a lot at meetings." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why do you think you have to do that?" And I said, "Well, so that the newcomer can relate to me." And he quickly corrected me. And he said, "Tony, you're not supposed to go to their level. You're supposed to bring them up to yours." And it changed my whole perspective on what I was doing there. So I thought I had to be a nice guy and popular, and although I may have not have acted that way a lot of times, but that was the gist of it. So we learn as we go along. There was some mentioning of a lot of people. I was also in service, World Services. I've been on a few committees, and I've been on a few ad hoc committees, one of which was a literature committee. And I knew they needed my help because they asked me, and I couldn't even read or write, or at least very little. And Jimmy recommended it, and then I talked to my sponsor about it, and he agreed. So I thought they were really messed up and really needed my help. So there I was. And by the way, my sponsor, you heard him. Is Chuck, and he's been my sponsor over 40 years, as you could see from my clean date. The only sponsor I've ever had, although when I was new, I used to lie about that and tell people that I had 5 sponsors, because like most new people, there's 2 things that most new people have in common, as I did. Number one, I'm different. And number 2, but you don't understand. So those things apply to me as well. So I thought I was different. I thought I was worse than everybody else. And I thought I needed more sponsors than anybody else. So I thought I needed a sponsor for my spiritual growth. I thought I needed a sponsor for relationships. I thought I needed a sponsor that knew how to hold a job, you know, and on and on and on. And as time went along, I realized how full of shit I was. So, and you know, the truth comes out. There's a couple of things that I had made notes of, and I'll probably never get to them. But I do want to say this. The one thing that I heard from all the speakers that came before me, and not just today, what I've been hearing since my recovery, is the only message we really have, and that's hope. There's hope for all of us, every single one of us. Narcotics Anonymous has certainly grown a lot. And I don't know where it's going, you know. I just know that we've gone through a lot of changes. We've even been busted up a few times. And those of us that were solid and had no other place to go, we stayed. And our language, our methods, our philosophies, they've changed over the years. It's no longer a fixed pill and drink. It's addiction. And we've learned through our education and our own experiences. And through that, more and more addicts have recovered and are recovering. Every single day we're breaking records. Every day. World records. Because we have something here that you can't buy. It's, you know, our own experiences, our strengths. And we share it with each other. And it's the hope that comes out of all that. For one addict to live one day without using is simply a miracle. And yeah, a lot of people have reached the point of getting closer to their higher power, to their God, whatever they call it, to the Great Spirit, to a religious thing. And, you know, I have to tell you that if it works for you, then it works. And if it doesn't work for you, find something that does. Because the end result is just that. We get closer and closer to our understanding of a higher power. And we want that. I've said this many times. When I first got here, there was a lot of things that I thought I wanted. A lot of goals I wanted to reach, even the materialistic things. And today, my two greatest goals, probably the only ones I really do have, to be honest with you, is one, get one more day clean. Just one. I'm grateful for that. And two, get as close to my God as humanly possible while I'm here on this earth. And these things give me comfort. And I know that I can't do either one of those things alone. We used to say it a lot, thank God for the fellowship and thank the fellowship for God. We don't hear it so much anymore, but we used to say it a lot. And it's still in my heart. Those of us that came from old school, we have a different way of doing things today. But we have to be flexible. A tree that does not bend in the wind will surely snap. And there's no guessing about that. That's the God's honest truth. So we have to be flexible. We are helping so many people today. It's unbelievable how many of us there are. As Tom mentioned, 63,000 meetings in how many continents? 16? All of them? Yeah. So it wasn't like that. And as I started to mention earlier, you know, Kathy had mentioned a fight. I think she said Jack. I'm assuming she meant Jack Bernstein, because I believe he's the one that took me to that business meeting, that first business meeting at Suicide Prevention Center. And by the way, when you walked in, because they let us use the back room, and the front room was used for their clients. When you walked in, you had to walk over people. They were messed up, real bad Seconal, and you know, there were people out there trying to kill themselves, and much like we have done. And we got into that room, and I immediately grabbed a chair, because it was my first business meeting. I had no idea what to expect. And I put it against the wall by the door. Makes sense from which I came from. And something else was going on. There was a separation or division, I should say, of a large area into two areas. And I believe it was Greg Pierce that was running the meeting. And he took a pen, and it was obviously a continuation from the previous business meeting. And I didn't know anything about anything. And he laid out this map, and he drew this line, and he said, oh, great. Now we have two areas that came out of this one geographical area. And everybody started hooting and hollering, and somebody mentioned, oh, man, we gotta celebrate. And yeah, everybody agreed, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And somebody said, we'll have a dance. And everybody agreed to that. And then somebody said, we'll have it in this new area. And then somebody said, no, man, we'll have it in this old area. And somebody said, no, we'll have it. And it started an argument, and then it started a fight. And let me tell you guys, when that fight started out, I jumped up out of my chair and I went, yeah. And I rolled up my sleeves and said, let's go. And it was the first time in my experience that I had with Narcotics Anonymous that I felt like it was a place for me to be. Okay, this is where I belonged. That's just because of where I came from. You know, we all have that moment, you know, at some point or another. But I knew, yeah, now we're home, you know, now we know what we're doing. And you know, I kept coming back. And I've seen a few since and been involved in a couple since, but not like that first one. I'll never forget it. And I do remember it was at the Suicide Prevention Center. So I used to go to... before I forget, I wanted to mention also that my first conference was also in the Valley College. I believe that was in Van Nuys. And we didn't fly. People didn't fly around. And we hitchhiked. We bummed rides. We begged for nickels and dimes for gas, and we pushed our cars because most of them didn't run anyway. They break down. And it was a venture just to get to Van Nuys, to get to this conference. And according to my memory, the trustees, the board of trustees, they were guardians of our traditions. And they weren't even, they didn't even have to show up. If there was any question about our traditions, we would call them up. And this is according to my memory. There were a half a dozen of them, and we would call them up to make sure we're on the right track in regards to the traditions. And they would help us with that. That was my first experience with any kind of what I thought was authority in our fellowship. And and by the way, this one that I showed you, this one right here, this is, oh yeah, I'm sorry you can't see that. I kind of blew it. I believe that Chuck was the chair of this one. And of course, I don't know if you've seen the bottom, that was in 1982 where all them guys were there, including Greg Pierce and Phil Perez and a bunch of them guys. So. My personal experience is it just blows my mind how much I've learned in this fellowship, and not only about me, but about you two, and about how similar we really are as addicts and our personalities and our traits. I spent a number of years side by side with Greg Pierce when he lived in Oregon with his mom. I moved up there myself, and that's when the Southern Oregon Fellowship got started, and Greg shortly moved to Atlanta from there. It was a time where we were writing and reviewing the basic text, and I know even if it wasn't official, Greg did a lot of work on that, as well as many have, but he didn't really get recognized as that. He was involved with a lot of the writing. I remember when he wrote the Triangle of Self-Obsession. I remember that he was obsessed at the time, and that's a good time to write stuff, you know, when you're right in the middle of it. But he was a good man, and I know that there's a lot of archives that his wife turned over to the region in Atlanta. So, and I remember him being at Jimmy's house as well, and he would be the one that would be controlling the tapes, because when we'd sit around at Jimmy's house in the evening, we would tape stuff that was going on, and Jimmy would talk about medication and recovery and all kinds of stuff, and the phone would ring, and he'd tell somebody go answer it, and you know, on and on and on. And Greg had a lot of that stuff. And I know I have 10 minutes left, so I wanted to say something because everyone pretty much that spoke in front of me had also shared about service. And basically, the service that I want to talk about is a service to the newcomer and how things have changed and are changing. And you find this. I wanted to read this. It's so very important today, and especially in our moments of silence. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the way things are today, there are people out there that don't have access to the internet and don't have access to the things that we have access to today. It's different when there's a physical meeting where they can come and join us and, you know, funky and all, and have a cup of coffee and sit down. It's not like that anymore. So there's people still out there dying of this horrible disease that we have, and they don't know where to get help. And I wanted to read this, and excuse me if I fumble, I get a little emotional, especially there'll be many of you that will recognize this reading. It came from Jimmy, and it says, but it's going to take all of me, and it's going to take all of you, and all the people that are going to talk to, that you're going to talk to, and all the people you are going to carry the message to make this greater reality. There are people out there dying of our disease. There are people all over the world dying of our disease. And believe it or not, we are truly the only people who can really help them. Let's never forget that. You and I have been given through our illness and suffering and through this disease a talent for helping other humans. human beings like ourselves. Let's never forget that we have it and are responsible for others. And unfortunately, many of us forget that. In our moment of silence, you know, some of us take it for granted. Lately in my home group, we've been praying for knowledge of how to help these people that don't get the message in a usual manner. And I encourage each of you to do the same. It takes persistence from all of us. And if we all unite our prayers, the answers will come. I have no doubt about that. And I know persistence is the key. Let me give you something else on another note. It took 26 years of my recovery for those powers to be to allow me to go into institutions in the state of California. And regularly, my sponsor would come and he'd make me fill out this form regularly. And I got so tired of it, I told him, no, I ain't doing it no more. So he used to fill it out for me, and then he used to make me sign it until the point got to, I don't even want to sign it. You know, I don't, you know what I'm talking about, called rejection, you know, constantly being rejected. They didn't want me. And I was very upset about it because a friend of mine who had a second degree murder, he got to go in to some places and they wouldn't even allow me to go in. And primarily it was because of my violent record. At least that's what they told me. And after 26 years of consistently trying and trying and trying, I was able to get into H&I in California. Although all the other states would accept me. And I did that for a number of years. I traveled around and going to the prisons in other states. And, you know, it kept me clean. And like my sister Kathy said, you know, we go out to do 12-step work or whatever, which is very far and in between anymore. A sponsee of mine recently just had an opportunity to do a righteous 12-step program, step call. And I'm proud of him for that. But mostly treatment centers do that for us. There was a time in our fellowship where, man, to get a newcomer to walk into our rooms, man, that was something. We jump on them. You know, we give it to them, both barrels, because they were far and in between. And now they come in busloads. And people, you know, go, oh, man, there's so many. You know, it's like, yeah, thank God there's so many, you know, because we were there when there weren't so many. And it's just a real quick story. I went into a meeting. It was a little while ago where, you know, I used to just take the meeting directory and just close my eyes and point, you know, and then either jump on my bike or get in my truck and go to that meeting. And I try to make it a meeting that, you know, I've never been to before. That's why I just let God control it. And I walked into this meeting in another city, and the secretary came up to me and goes, oh, man, Tony, it's so good to see you here. We have a problem at this meeting. And I went, yeah, what's the problem? If I could help, I will. He goes, well, this newcomer keeps coming. He's been coming for weeks. And he stinks, and he's drunk all the time, and we don't know what to do with him. I said, well, what? I'm not understanding the problem. He goes, well, he's influencing the new people. And I said, oh, I understand. Now I understand the problem. I said, I think I could fix that. So I went over to this newcomer guy who was indeed loaded, and you could smell booze on him as well. And I asked him to come sit next to me. And he looked at me and he said, really? And I went, yeah, come sit next to me, man. Let me get you a cup of coffee. These things I've learned from my sponsor. And I brought him over and I sat him next to me and I fed him coffee the whole meeting. And I made sure
Are you still there, Tony?
I lost him too.
Let's see if we can get him back on.
Like they used to do.
There he goes.
Can you guys still hear me?
We can hear you now. We lost you for about 1 minute. Start back over.
All right. Well, I'm used to talking to myself anyway. It's okay. But anyway, for those of you that...
Sponsor sitting, Scott, and teaching you to sit down next to people.
Okay, would you repeat that? Somebody talking to me?
No, you're good, Tony. Keep going, buddy.
All right. So I don't know what this thing is here, but I'm going to get rid of it. So I learned these things from my sponsor. And once again, he's been my only sponsor. And a lot of times I want to tell him no, but I do it anyway, you know, because he's staying clean. And if I follow his path, you know, one of the greatest compliments I ever got was when I spoke at a meeting at a convention, and somebody came up to me after the convention and said to me, "Wow, man, for a minute there, I thought you sounded like Chuck." And I went, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And I almost cried. Man, that'd be a real honor for me. To be, you know, like 1/10 of what this man has gotten, what he's given away. And, you know, miracles do happen in our fellowship. We just have to stick around to see them. So in closing, guys, I want to say that if you be an addict of my kind, I will pray that you don't use. But if you use, you better pray that you're not an addict. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you, Tony. Love you, man. Thank you for being my friend.